Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is She Love.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Berry.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. On the show with me is Alexa Andre. She is a podcast host. She's a sexologist. We're going to talk a lot about everything that she is up to. She is bisexual. She is solo poly. What does solo poly mean? You're going to find out about it. Alexa has been to orgies. She's been to sex parties. She's had threesomes with couples, threesomes with two men, tons of experiences. She talks about all of these experiences on this episode with me. And we also get into what it was like to be on a swingers cruise, what it was like to hold a man's penis while he peed for him. We talk about her new season of her podcast, In Bed with Alexa, which is coming up on season two very soon. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Alexa Andre.
This week's conversation.
Alexa Andre, hi, hello, welcome finally to Sex Party. How are you doing?
Finally, this has been months in brewing in the making, so I'm happy we're finally getting it done.
Yeah, me too. It's been, you're right. It has been brewing. It's been a bit of a witch's warlock's brew. I've been asking, you've been disappearing, then you come back and then say, well, okay, maybe, and then disappear. And then, you
I
know.
Seem to recall we had a scheduled talk and you canceled on me.
So. I did not. No, I never cancel on anyone.
You did.
I think you may be mistaken. I think potentially there was some emailing that didn't get, I don't know. Like, I feel like it, things get lost in the podcast world. People don't understand that this is like a different realm of reality. It's a different realm of being. When you're a podcaster, the sky is always falling, but we just need to deliver the episodes. So we just start catching the pieces and trying. So some things get lost, right? Let's just call it that.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah, just for sake of argument. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just very grateful, to be honest, that you're here on the show. And I've been, you know, I've got burning questions. The audience has no idea who you are, right? Or maybe they do, since you are quite a big podcaster and voice in the sex creator field. But just in case, for those people who don't know who you are, they don't know what you do, can you introduce yourself, talk a little bit about who you are, your favorite ice cream, what you do?
Okay. Contrary to popular belief, my favorite ice cream is vanilla, even though that's the only vanilla thing in my life. Love it. Other than that, I am a psychologist and a sexologist. And I'm a baby podcaster. My podcast is it's a newborn. I am just big because of my Instagram, but hopefully the podcast grows. What else do you want to know? I'm 26, originally from Costa Rica. Love everything, masturbation, orgasms, communication issues, couples problems, being queer, sex parties, orgies, the swinger community, all of it. Give it to me.
All at once, right? I think it's hilarious that your ice cream flavor is vanilla. I mean, that...
No.
Yeah, no, that sets it up perfectly. Okay, you said a lot. We love that. We love a lot. And I think, you know, you said you're a baby podcaster, but I don't... I mean, how long have you been doing the podcast?
I only did one season, and I've only had... I've released 8 episodes. That's it. The 9th comes up this week, but like, you know.
I feel as though like I see your clips everywhere all the time. So it and like your following on your personal following on Instagram, right? And then the show following are pretty, I mean, there's a lot of engagement happening there. And I think it's because your content is good. And you know, you know, you said everything from masturbation to sex parties and orgies and swingers parties. Let's dive a little bit more into that. I hate when I say dive into something, but here we go. We're on the diving board. We're diving in.
Why do you hate it? It's fine.
I feel like it's just one of those words I'm trying to stop using. Let's dive in, you know?
As a scuba diver, I approve of the verb.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're allowed. You are more qualified than anyone to allow that word. Okay, so what would you say got you into, I mean, were you always a sexual person from the time you were young, or was it something that struck you like in high school and you just had like a lot of sexual thoughts where other kids are thinking about like Transformers and you're like, I wonder what that person looks like naked, you know, or like how did it happen for you?
I think I was always super sexual, but I mean it in it. I was so curious. I wanted to see naked people. I wanted to see people's bodies. I was interrogating my friends about their first kisses, about how it felt, about, oh, you got fingered? How many fingers? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Are your nipples sensitive? Because Jessica's aren't, but Sylvia says she gets licked and, you know, it's too much. So like, how are your nipples? And, you know, like I wanted to know everything and I still do. So I'm still going around asking people how sensitive their nipples are. Like, I want to know. And when I was studying psychology, I was interested in a few branches of psychology, but it wasn't until I had a class called Sexuality and Pleasure that I was like, this is a thing. I can turn this into a fucking career. People will pay me to talk about sex. Like, I should be paying them. This is so fucking interesting. So after that, I just got my master's in sexology and turned it into a fucking career.
That is incredible. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. I think a lot of people have sexual urges. They're not just horny, but like you said, like they're more into the mindset of what the other person, like, yeah, okay, I want to see what they look like naked, but like, what are you thinking about and why? And where did that come from? And people don't realize that they can study that in, you know, university, or they can start a podcast or write a book or ask their friends or whatever. I think there's this weird stigma, at least in the United States, I'm sure all over the world, where it's like, oh, sex is, that's just for, you know, So did you encounter a lot of like pushback being that way when you were younger? And
I mean, I was raised in a certain way. My parents were like, only have sex if you're in love with the person. And even then, I was like 13 and I was like, why? Like, why do I have to be in love to have sex? Like, obviously, I hadn't had sex, but like, why was love? Why did it have to be there? You know, why can't you just have sex because you fucking want to have sex? So I was always challenging everyone. And I guess in my social life, I think I was seen as a very sexual person, but I wouldn't, if you weren't approving of it, you were not in my life. Like, fuck you. You know, I don't want you. And it's still that way to this day. I'm sure there are people that fucking hate what I say, but they're not in my life. I don't see it. Like, I don't feel like I have haters because I'm in such a little bubble. Everyone's a slut. Everyone's like, bi. Everyone supports me. Everyone loves what I do, that I don't even notice that people think differently.
Yeah, no, well, that's great. I've got an inbox full of death threats and whatever, but I think it's probably because I'm
Why does everyone have haters? I feel like I haven't made it because I don't have any haters. Like, no, what is going on?
Because you don't pay attention to, you just said, you don't, I doubt you're going to your inbox and like, I'm going to like block.
I read every request. I read every fucking message I get. I'm so nice at answering. Everything's nice. Everything is fucking nice. Or like, hi, how are you? And I'm like, what do you want? Like, don't do small talk. Like, what do you want? Just tell me what you want. Mm-hmm. But nothing like, you're disgusting, or I hate you, burn in hell. None of them.
So no religious people are hanging around.
They haven't found me yet. Knock on wood, whatever. I hope they never do. But like, if they do, like, just fuck off. I don't want you here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, my thing is, I feel like I just want to ride the hate as much as the love, like, to wherever, you know, like, ride this fucking thing as high as it'll go. And I feel like, you know, this podcast has had a lot of growth in the last year. And I believe that a lot of it is from the hate, because people are like hate watching the content. You know, you have somebody on.
I want haters. Where are they?
Okay. First of all, careful what you wish for. Two, they're on their way right now. They heard this in their hater ear and they're on the plane with each other, throwing rocks back and forth. Like, we're going to get her. They're going to pull up in Costa Rica. You'll be gone.
I will not be here. But only one reel that went kind of viral, like a million views. I got some comments like, oh, that's kind of gross or something. Because it was about holding someone's penis while they pee. Mm. And me loving to do that because it's so fucking fun. And then some people were like, I don't get it. Or like, this is wrong. And like, but that's it. Like, no death threats. No, you know, no, nothing. Nothing too serious.
Well, first of all, give it time. Second of all, I doubt it. You're too nice. I feel like I have maybe I give an attitude or something. And they're all coming from men. I've never had a woman give me a death threat ever. Like, it's just the sort of incel, like red pill kind of Andrew Tatey full beard guys. Mm. Yeah. It's pretty gross. But keep it coming. So whatever. You talked about holding someone's penis while they pee. How did we get onto this? Why do we like it? Because I have a couple things to say.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like I did it for the first time with my first boyfriend. It's because I don't have a penis. So I want, you know, it's just, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I was on a swingers cruise now, December, January. Mm-hmm. And I met this guy and I was like, can I hold your penis while you pee? And he's like, yeah, but like I have to count really fast so I can pee, like in his or out loud, he just counts. And I'm like, okay, I'll count for you. And then he was like, you're squeezing it too hard. And I was like, I'm barely touching you. What the actual fuck? And then he's like, shake it. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. And this was on the cruise's bathroom. And then we did it twice. And the first time someone came in and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, we're just messing around. And because it was a swingers cruise, no one gave a fuck. Like, no one cared. And the second time someone else came in, but everyone just laughs it off. Like, it's just such a wholesome community. And I still had to count. I still was squeezing it too hard and I didn't shake it hard enough at the end. But, you know, 10 out of 10, I love to do it. It's just something so different and intimate.
Yeah, there is a level of intimacy with it. My girlfriend has done that to me. We've tried that. It's fun. And
it's not sexual. It's just fun.
I don't know. Everything is sexual to me. I don't know. Whatever. But it's just like a horny kind of fun little thing. You're right. You said swingers cruise, and I did notice you have a chunk of content about the swingers cruise. This is really interesting because I don't think we've had people on the show talk about swingers events, swingers parties, some wacky shit that's happened to them, some jealousy, some incident with whipped cream that happened at a, like, someone got mad and went in the refrigerator. It was like, get off of him, and like hit it, like Cool Whip to the face kind of a thing. Whatever. We've heard all. Yeah. I can't remember what episode it was, but it was a wild one. A swingers cruise. Okay. What is this? Right. And can you walk us through this experience? Like, how'd you find it? What was it like? How long were you there?
So I've been diving into the swingers community since October. Zachary Zane took me to Hedonism 2 in Jamaica, which is a swingers resort, a sex resort, basically. And it was bi-week, though. So it was a fucking fuck fest. It was
literally
insane. Everyone was fucking everywhere. And it wasn't my first experience in the swinger community. And that's what I thought it was. But because they were bi, they didn't have a lot of rules. You know how couples have a lot of rules. Mm-hmm. And the swinger screws was a straight swinger screws. And then I really got to know the community because they all have so many rules. They either soft swap or full swap. They only swap if everyone likes each other, or they have to be in the same room, or no, they go to different rooms, or only in group settings, or, you know, it's ridiculous, but, you know, you do you. So it was very different. And I found out about it because I was invited. I didn't pay for it, naturally, because fuck that. It was so expensive. And I said, yes. I was like, fuck it. Of course I'll go. And I went. It was great. It was not as wild. It was also, the swinger community can be on the older side. I was definitely the youngest person there. Just like in Jamaica, I was the youngest there. But like, I rewired my brain to be attracted to older people. And now like the limit does not exist. I'm attracted to everyone. It's fun.
Okay. This is going to be great. How do you rewire your brain to be attracted to older people? Because we, you know, neuroplasticity is a thing, right? So did you just like look at older penis and vagina and like say like, okay, we're going to try to masturbate to this, like, and then you find yourself attracted? Or did you like, no, you know what? Now we're just going to try it and see where it goes.
I think I was just challenging my beliefs. I think it was kind of ageist. I mean, to some degree, right? Because like, you don't have to find older people attractive, but like, why not? You know, especially now that I'm not 18, and then that could be kind of fucked up. But when Zach told me like, hey, the people in Jamaica are going to be like average 45 to like 65, I was like, what the fuck? Like, okay, like I might not fuck anyone. Like that might be too old for me because I'm 26. But then like I was going and I wanted to have fun and I knew Zach was going to fuck everything that moved there. So I was like, okay, like I want to have fun. Like, why can't I find these people attractive? And I just started like looking, browsing, and just seeing these people with different eyes. And I got there and it was kind of a shock, but like by day two or three, I let loose. Like it was not a problem anymore whatsoever.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's great. And so that was Jamaica where you let loose.
Yeah, because that was my first swinger older crowd experience.
Okay. And so how many people, I mean, and obviously only share what you're comfortable with, but how many people did you hook up with in that first experience in Jamaica?
Oh my God. I have to count, but like, see, episode two of my podcast is Zach and I resharing everything that we did. But we had quite a few orgies. First night we had like, we were fucking them, like some couple kind of joined us, but kind of not. Then we had like a 6-person orgy. Then we had a foursome. What else? Then we had like the hottest threesome on the pool and everyone was watching. Then they clapped for us. It was fucking magic. I don't know, a few threesomes, a couple orgies. And I went one-on-one with someone else. I don't know, a few people.
Sure. No, it sounds great. Okay, the hottest threesome, right? What made it so hot? What made it so incredible?
Well, I am not an exhibitionist, but so I just tune it out. I close my eyes. I get super shy. But this gorgeous man comes up to me, introduces himself, and then he asks me about Zach, who was like 6 feet away, flirting with someone else. And I was like, oh, that's Zach. So they introduced themselves. And 5 seconds later, they were making out. And I was like, oh my God, that is so hot. Because Zach is bi. And well, it was bi week. Everyone was bi. And after a few seconds, I was like, Zach, can you please suck his dick? Because Zach is like a god at sucking dick. Like he's so good. It's just the hottest thing ever. And we were at the naked pool, so everyone was naked. We could see this man's dick. It was ginormous. And I was like, Zach, I need to see your deep throating skills because you write about it so much. And he was like, yeah, sure. So gorgeous man sat on the edge of the pool. Zach was sucking his dick. Then Zach was like, I have to fuck you, to me. And I was like, okay. So I went to the steps of the pool, got on all fours. Zach was fucking me while sucking his dick. And then the guy came over to me and was like, I want you to suck my dick. And I was like, you're going to be disappointed because I have nowhere near the skills that Zach has. But sure, like I'll suck your dick. Obviously, it's a gorgeous dick. And then so Zach was fucking me. I was sucking his dick. And then Zach started sucking someone else's dick because he works that fast. And after a while, I was like, okay, I need a break. And we just like stopped. And I opened my eyes and everyone was watching, and then they started clapping, and I was like, oh my God.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, to be able to suck dick while fucking someone, I mean, that's like pro level that I don't think anybody.
I just can't go as deep. Like, Zach literally swap. Like, you can feel the bulge on his throat. Like, I will not. Like, I just can't get past a certain amount. I just cannot do it. I will gag.
Yeah.
He's the king of sucking dick.
So nobody came to a climax in that scenario.
No, no one came. It was just for a little while. It was just fun.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing too. It's like people do things for experience and like for the pleasure of it rather than it being like this goal oriented. Plus, I feel like, you know, if you bust your nut in the first hour of the orgy, it's kind of like now you're sitting on the sideline drinking Sprite waiting for the moment to come back. You know what I mean? Like, so what is that like? Well, I mean, are you multi-orgasmic yourself?
I can.
Yeah.
But like if I'm having sex, it's hard to come, and that's not my goal. Like, I am pro orgasms. Everyone that wants an orgasm should get an orgasm. Mm-hmm. If you want one, you should get one. And people should care about your pleasure. You should advocate for your own pleasure. But I have so much fun even if I don't come. Mm. That it's fine. Like, if I don't come, it can still be a successful encounter if they cared about my pleasure, right? Like, if they didn't give a fuck, I'm like, okay, no. But if they tried and I was satisfied, even though I didn't come, fuck yeah, it was great. I don't need to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that as a man, right, as a heterosexual man who's been with women, it's like, that's weird to them where it's like, wait, you're not going to come. And I'm like, I either get myself off, right? Like in front of you, with you, whatever. But like, I don't need that. And I've always just enjoyed that experience with that person, right? And it can build to something. And you know, and sometimes it's like, fuck, like the best ever is like when you're not concentrating on having an orgasm, you're not concentrating on coming, and you're like, fuck, I'm going to come. Like that to me, that's like, that's a gift. That's the best. It feels, you know, it's awesome. Okay. So a couple quick follow-up questions. Is Zach your partner, or he's just a friend that you guys like do events with, or?
Right. We're just friends.
Yeah.
Fuck, I guess. So I met him in July. I mean, we had met virtually for years, but I met him in real life in July. We had an event. We were both invited to an event, but I actually randomly met him the day before at a sex party, and we ended up talking for hours, and he was like, I don't fuck coworkers. And I was like, okay, like, fine. And then like an hour later, he was fucking me, and I was like, Zach, what are you doing? So that's when we met, and no, we just went like as friends, but everyone was like, how long have you guys been married? And we were like,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he takes you on this. So he took you on the swinger cruise as well.
No, just to the sex resort. Cause he was writing an article for Men's Health, and he could bring a plus one. And he was like, you'd be so fun to go with. And I was like, I know, let's go.
Amazing. Okay. So swingers cruise, did you go with someone else, or did you go just as like the solo unicorn that everyone's trying to get into
for this cruise, you had to go with someone else.
Okay. So you went with just another friend.
Yeah. We don't talk about him.
Oh, okay. So we'll leave him out. We'll leave him out of this. We don't talk about him. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave him out of the narrative. Okay. So, just a couple questions and then we'll jump to the next. But okay, on the swingers cruise, I think people in their mind think it's going to be like this. I mean, it's a cruise, right? And you're going to swing. I mean, it's swingers cruise. So like, I think people maybe to a point think that it's just going to be like this insanely horny thing where everyone's like grabbing at everybody and there's no consent or whatever. Can like you set the record straight on that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think I thought it was going to be wilder than it actually was, because most couples end up just soft swapping, which means they do oral and everything other than penetration. So it's like not as wild as you think. You would go to the playroom and you'd see husband and wife fucking on a bed on every bed. Like, no one was swapping. No one was having orgies, threesomes. Like, it was like, I thought it was going to be wilder. I still had so much fun, but I had different expectations because of fucking Jamaica. That ruined my expectations because it was so wild.
Yeah.
But consent-wise, the swinger community is more opt-out consent versus enthusiastic consent. So they will just hug you. They will grab your back while they're passing behind you. Like, people will touch you without your permission. So, but if you're uncomfortable, if you say no, they will respect it. Mm. It's just a different kind of consent. So in Jamaica, I had a hard time the first time I went to the naked pool, and everyone was literally rubbing against me. I was like, why is everyone touching me? Like, what the actual fuck? But Zach was like, hey, that's just how it works here. Like, I'm like, that's just how they are. You just say no if you're uncomfortable. And he was right. Like, I got over it. I sucked it up. And if I said no, everyone respected it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's important too, because to paint that picture that a lot of these, you know, well-organized events are consent-based. They do revolve around, like, people saying yes, saying no, all of those things. And, like, you know, what an interesting point that mainly it was soft swap. I would imagine that would mean also, too, that a lot of, like, the women were, like, coupling up, but the men were switching with each other, like, hard swap, right?
No, yeah, they were switching, but they weren't doing penetration.
Yeah, so okay.
I actually didn't see any threesomes because, like, everyone was straight, mostly. There were a few bi women. There must have been bi men, but male bisexuality in the swinger community is still not as accepted. So, like, it's very behind closed doors.
Right. Yeah. On your Instagram bio, it says bi and solo poly, right? So, explain, I mean, you already did kind of, but, like, you know, let's go over that, right? Obviously you're bi, and I have a follow up on that. And obviously you're poly, but solo poly, cause this is sort of a new term on this show, I would say, for the audience. Explain what solo poly means and how you practice that.
So it's within non-monogamy, right? And regular polyamory means you can have either multiple partners and they're all in the same category, or you have one primary and a few secondaries, maybe some comet partners, whatever. When you're solo poly, it means you're your own primary. Like, you come first. You might not have a desire to get married, have kids, live with someone, join finances. Like, you are your own partner, basically. Mm. And then after that, it comes everyone else. Like, you can have significant committed relationships and you can have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever, and casually date. But, like, you still might not just have a desire to solidify those relationships and do, you know, the typical relationship escalator that moving in together, marriage, kids, you know, whatever it is.
Sure.
So a lot of people that I initially identify solo poly, then transition to polyamory, there's very few people that stick to this like their whole lives. And I am open to, you know, evolutioning and evolving whatever into something else. But for now, that is what is working for me.
So do you find yourself then being the one that joins, like, other polyamorous couples then, probably a lot?
But only because I'm a slut, not because.
Well, yeah, just for adventures. You're not joining, but, like, you know, that's how when I read that. And again, if I'm wrong, totally set it straight, because that's what we do. We ask the smart and stupid questions here.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would imagine, like, when I read that, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, she's bi, and solo poly. She has the ability to move about freely. It's more about her. So she could join and be a third for as many people as she'd like to be, or none at all, right? So that's how I envisioned that, or whatever.
So, I mean, yes, because I am okay being a third, but, like, anyone in the non-monogamy world can also be a third. It's not a solo poly thing. It's exclusionary. And I could have a boyfriend and we could go look for a third, or a girlfriend. Like, So it's not like a thing that only solo polyamorous do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people get like confused with the definitions and.
Yeah. People think that I am only like casually dating, but that's not the case. Like I can totally have serious committed relationships. Mm-hmm. It's just the term. It just has, you know, stigma around it, or people just don't understand it. I always have an article that Zach wrote actually for Men's Health about solo poly, and I just send it to everyone. I'm like, if you don't know what it means, read this and read the whole thing and then come back with like a summary so that I know you read it. Thank you. Bye.
Well, there will be a book report.
There will be a quiz.
Yeah. Well, you can send it to me and I will link it if you like in this episode. Sure. So people can check it out. Bouncing back to your bisexuality, we talked about a little bit in the beginning about, you know, having those thoughts and feelings around your friends, like when you were younger, but like, do you remember the moment where it's like, oh shit, I'm bi? Like, and you knew for sure.
It was late. I'm a late bloomer.
Okay.
Because I always admired women. I've always thought they are amazing. I've always been like, I want to experiment. I would always kiss my friends. And like, if I knew I had one friend that we would always kiss, I would, if we were going out, I'd be waiting for that moment, you know? But I thought that was straight. I thought that was fucking normal. So, because, you know, they just tell you that it's okay and it's for male attention, so that you must be straight. And I also liked men. So why would I even consider being bi? I thought admiring women was straight. I thought, you know, fucking adoring and I don't know, like devoting energy and time to like thinking women are so fucking beautiful and perfect was super straight of me. Also because I wasn't attracted to women in the way men are portrayed to be attracted to women. Like I don't see a pair of tits or a big ass and I'm like, oh my God, that's so hot. Like, no, I'm more like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. I appreciate it so much. Like, oh my God, you're perfect. It's more of an adoration more and less so of an, I wish I could fuck that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my attraction to each gender is so different. So TikTok taught me about all of this. That I have started hearing people speaking about this exact same thing. And I was like, does that mean I'm bi? Like, what the actual fuck? And it does. And then I started exploring with women and I was like, I'm so bi. But side note, you don't have to explore if you don't want to. Like, you don't have to have experiences to call yourself bi. I just wanted to, because why not? I love women. And that just reaffirmed my identity. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm bi. I love women.
Yeah, you seem like someone who is not afraid to label themselves as long as they're the labels that you appreciate and are proud of. And I think that's like, you know, really fucking brave and really fucking cool and sort of a rock star move. Like when I read your bio again, like by solo poly, I'm like, okay, let's like, you know, just because I think when that's the first thing you read on someone's Instagram, right? Like that sets a tone, especially for me being a sex creator, sex podcaster. I mean, thank you, right? Like, I love that because it makes it easy. Makes my job very easy to then point that out on the show so the audience can really like feel what that's like. And I think it does take a sense of self. You seem to me like someone who, although you wear many hats, we'll say sexual hats, one, you don't shy away from that. Two, you don't fucking care, which three means you own it. And four, maybe there's some more hats to come in the future, right? Like, I think that's super interesting. And I fucking applaud that shit because so many people shy away from things that they like because they think that it'll get them judgment or people will look at them weird. And at the end of the day, like, weird is fucking great. Like, weird is rock and roll. Like, I love weird. And I think that we should,
weird.
Yeah, we like weird. Yeah. And we should celebrate that shit more. And, you know, with all the insanely beautiful knowledge that you have from the studies that you've done and like, you know, working in these fields and living in these fields, like, you know, that, and it's like, it's represented like right from the jump in your social media. So I fucking love that. I'm wondering, and again, only share what you're comfortable with. I don't even know why I'm saying that, because you seem to be comfortable with everything except for the one guy we're not going to talk about. So could you like sort of walk us through what was your first true bisexual encounter experience like?
Okay. First of all, thanks. I appreciate that. It's definitely a journey. Like I wasn't born this confident or like authentic. It's still a journey. Like I feel like I can still even be more authentic. So I do work on it, and whoever's listening, like, it takes work. If you're super shy and uncomfortable and, you know, you want to be more you, do the work, and like, it's not easy, but you can do it. I did it. Right. Other than that, my first bi experience, like experimenting with a woman, was a shit show. It was, oh my God, it was so bad. Like, it's not a good representation, because I kind of combined bisexuality with non-monogamy that first time. And I was in Australia and I was dating the husband of a husband and wife. And I met the wife. I went to their house for dinner, and they both loved me, and they were like, ditch your hotel, I want you to move in. And I was like, fuck yeah, that sounds amazing. Woo. So I ditched my hotel. I moved in, because why not? You know, I was traveling. It sounded great. And then the wife got jealous of me, told me I couldn't do anything with the husband anymore. So I was just like staying there in this awkward, uncomfortable scenario. And I was like, what do I do? And then like, she slowly got over it throughout the days. And then like, she and her boyfriend broke up, and I was like, hey, why don't you and I go out and you can take her mind off of things? Because I didn't know she wanted anything with me, and I also just wanted to be nice and take her out. So we went out, and we were playing pool, and we were making bets. And she's like, if I win, you have to flash the whole bar. And I was like, okay, if I win, we have to make out, because I wanted to know what the fuck was going on. So I won, luckily, and we made out heavily. And then at the end of the night, she was like, we have to talk about the sexual tension. And I was like, oh, so you do want to do something with me other than steamy makeout sessions. And so we got home, where the husband was sleeping, and I hadn't been able to have sex with him for a while because she had vetoed me. And she and I had sex. But it was also because she knew it was my first time. She was like, I don't want you to touch me at all. I just want to focus on you. So like, she wouldn't let me touch her or do anything to her. So I was like, this is not what I want. Like, I want to do things to you as well. So it was a thing. It was complicated. But after that, I have only had amazing experiences.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what a way to learn, right? Even that's, I mean, what you just described is like some fucking James Bond, except James in this case is you, and you win a game of pool and wind up having your first, bisexual experience and whatever. But like, I'm sure you learned things in that then made it easier.
So yeah. Well, yeah. And like 2 days later, the three of us had a threesome, and it was weird. And like, it's, I didn't know anything, okay? I was just exploring, but I learned so much. And like, I'm so grateful to learn in such an early stage of my journey that I didn't have to make the same mistakes again. You know, I learned so fast. Just like my first boyfriend, I was 17, and I learned so much. And after that, I didn't have to go through it again at a later age. I learned at 17 and never again. So I'm super grateful. But it was definitely not a good representation of how I want to practice non-monogamy and bisexuality even. Like, I don't date people that have veto power, couples that have veto power. If no one knows what that means that you can tell your partner not to date someone just because. And they have to listen because you agreed that you had veto power. I don't fuck with that. And I know I want to also fuck women, not just get fucked by women, you know, like, I want to be involved. So I learned early, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, also too, like what better way to learn, right? You said the threesome was weird. Was it weird because you guys were in competition for, or she felt like you were in competition for his, or what was going on there?
Right. So she had to call every shot. So she's like, okay, now kiss, now fuck me. Now I'm going to do this to you. And like, I was like, okay, fine. Like, you can call the shots, but like, this is still weird. And I don't know. We'll have to pretend like it was the hottest thing ever. And like it was, but at the same time, I was like, why can't we just like kind of let it flow? Like, why do you have to be the director? So I don't know.
Was that your first threesome or no?
That was my first threesome ever.
Oh, okay. So see, we're having a lot of firsts in this era of your life, right? And so the threesomes that you've had, if you've had threesomes, I'm assuming, but I'm only assuming because...
But I already told you about one in the pool in Jamaica.
Oh, right, so right. Yes. So, and also too, like, I don't know how soon after this threesome you had another threesome, whatever, but like, what did you learn that from the threesome that you had with the very strict, dominant, but not in a good way, woman, that you then took to other threesomes to make it flow, like you said, like flow more easily? Because the threesomes I've had, that was the good part about all of them up until this point, right? Is that they were just this free flowing kind of fun thing. And so that also can be tricky to find that dynamic where it's free flowing, you know? So did you learn stuff where then you're like, hey, I got an idea. I learned it this last time. Let's not do that. Like whatever.
Yeah. So that's the only threesome that I would say wasn't a negative experience, but it was like, gray zone. Everything other than that, every group experience I've had after that has been insanely amazing. Mm. So it was actually a few weeks after that I had my second threesome with two best friends. And it was like a surprise threesome. I didn't know I was walking into a threesome, but they surprised me with it and I was very okay with it. And that one was so good because they do it all the time because they have threesomes with women all the time. Like they know how to work with each other. They don't get jealous. You know, they, it was just so fun. And I think that week I had like three threesomes in 5 days. It was just fun. Group play is fun.
So the first one that we're talking about, three.
No, besides that one, like after that one, right. I had like three threesomes in 5 days with one of the guys that was in the other threesome.
Sure. So the one you were speaking about that they had a good working relationship, right? Whatever. Was it a man and a woman, two men, two women?
Two men, two best friends.
Okay. So that was like their thing. They would like find women.
I mean, I guess. Sure. Like I had fucked guy A, I had fucked him. And then another day he was like, hey, why don't you come over? And he'd always text me at like 6 a.m. because I was up at 6 a.m. but he hadn't gone to bed because he was a partier. So I was like all refreshed. I was like, I had breakfast, I showered, you know, I was like ready for the day. And he's like, why don't you come over? I have a few friends here. And I was like, okay, cool. So I just came over and there were two other friends, B and C. C was like, I actually have to go home. I'm sorry to leave. And I was like, okay, bye. And then B was just there. And then A was trying to get me naked in front of B. And I was like, what is going on? I'm not getting naked unless you two are naked. And then they instantly got naked. And then so me and A were like fooling around. B was watching. And then like B and I started making out. A was fingering me. Like, it's just like evolve into a threesome. And like, but they knew it was going to be a threesome. I didn't know. It's a fucking surprise for me. But for me, it was like, oh, I want to do this. Like, this is so natural, even though it's planned. But it was so fun.
Yeah. So, okay. Did you start tossing out rules? Like, we're not going to do double penetration, or like, how far did this go? Was there double penetration? So it's mainly like a lot of like going back and forth.
Yeah. Like either one was fucking meaning I was busy with my mouth or hands with the other one.
Yeah. See, and this is cool because a lot lately, especially a lot of questions I'm getting, and we're sort of like getting into it more as the episodes tick by. And actually I have like a full devoted episode to it coming up, but a lot of women desire a threesome with two men, but like they don't know how to put it together. They don't know how to like, you know, and maybe they're not a secret agent like you are and like well-traveled and, you know, going to Jamaican fire orgies and like all these things or whatever. Right. And so I feel like it's important to ask those questions because, a lot of women, A, don't know how to ask for it, and B, are like, well, what do I do in that situation? You know what I mean? Did you sort of just let them sort of take you over, as it were, or was there just a free flowing kind of thing? Like, give us some details so they kind of can inform what they can expect.
So I was so shocked. I was like, I wasn't expecting it. So every 5 seconds, I was like, this is so fun. And they were just laughing at me. They were like, I know. And I was like, this is so fun. And they would just like tell me what to do, or I would just get busy. Like, you know, if my mouth was like not busy, I would make it busy. And that's the thing about threesomes. Like, if you have something you're not using, find where to use it. That is the, like, that's how you make a threesome successful. And if people want to have such threesome, like, I was lucky, I guess, but after that, and B and I then had another 2 threesomes that week that I learned how easy it was. Like, before that, I thought only a certain amount of people could have them. It was something, it was so hard to come across. It would never happen to no one. Mm-hmm. And after that, I found out how easy it was to have a threesome if you're in the right space. So B, one other day, he just called another friend, another guy, and we had a threesome. And then another day, the next day, we were like, I want to have a threesome with a girl. So I went on the apps. He was like, that's your responsibility. You find a girl. And I was like, holy shit, how am I going to find a girl for today? Like, they're all going to say no. So easy. Hmm. Like, so easy. I just lined it up. It was so easy. Like, easier than I would have thought it was. You just have to be respectful. You have to know how to ask. And like, if someone says no, it's not about you. They're just not interested. And that's fine. So you have to learn how to ask for it in the best way. You have to be respectful. And also, the threesome should always be about like the third. So that threesome, we made it about her. Mm. And then the first threesome was about me. You know, it's just, it's a, mostly the third needs to get most of the attention. It's not a fantasy fulfilling thing. And just insert yourself in the right spaces. So now if I want to have a threesome, I literally just call people and I can have a threesome. So because I know the right people, you have to expand your circles. That is the thing. Because if you think about it, if you're in your circle and you're like, no one I know would have a threesome, expand your circle. Find, be surrounded by people that have threesomes regularly, and that it's not just some wild fantasy you hope to achieve sometime in your life, but it's a regular Wednesday afternoon, you know? Yeah. Like, while I have so much fun at threesomes and group play, like, it's not some crazy once in a lifetime experience. For me, it's like, oh, you know, I just had an orgy on Friday and like, it was amazing. But like, you know, it's not an exotic thing. It just happens, you know?
Yeah. And like, again, like once you sort of have that experience and like you said, develop more confidence going into it, but also context and contacts, right? Like, so you could like reach out to people. You're right. It does become, I mean, what is the communication like between you and those two guys, like during the threesome? Like, because we always, and because of porn and, well, not even just porn, it was in general, like, are those guys like, you know, are you guys talking to each other about what feels good, what doesn't? You know, when they're like ready to come, is it like something where they're both coming on you? Where did they come if they came on you? Or like, if you're going to come, do you tell them like keep doing this? Or is it more communication? Is it less communication than normal sex, I would say?
I think it depends on the threesome, but I usually communicate a lot.
Yeah.
So it was more like, okay, who's going to fuck me first? Okay, now switch. Now I want this. And then they'd be like, they'd talk to each other and be like, oh, isn't she so hot? And I was like, oh my God. Like, they gave me so much praise and I was living for it. I love praise. And I just kept saying, this is so fun, because it was so fun. And someone was going to come, I'd be like, oh, like, okay, cool. Like, we were wearing condoms. So like, I don't give a fuck. or they'd be like, can I come in your mouth? And I say yes or no. You know, you just ask in the moment. We didn't pre-negotiate anything because to me, it was a surprise. And with them, I didn't need to. With other people, like if it's a couple, an established couple, I would 100% negotiate everything. Condom usage, who comes? If the guy comes, it's can he only come in her? Can he come in me with a condom? How is that going to work? What is the wife comfortable doing with me? What is the purpose of this? Like, you have to talk this out. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't. And those are pretty magic.
Yeah. I mean, and thank you for that, because I think you took all those questions and just like answered them in a way that only someone with your experience and brain could, because you just gave the answer like, hey, in a threesome, you know, with a couple should be like this. But if it's more kind of happen surprise, could be like this, you know, and in the moment, like, I feel like in the moment communication, no matter what kind of a threesome is like insanely important and can be a lot of fun if you play it the right way. I mean, we see that people are afraid to like initiate things, but when you're in it, like, hey, what the fuck? You're in that shit. You might as well fucking say where you'd like to come and ask permission, you know? okay. So in the beginning, you mentioned orgies, sex parties. Are you going? Have you been to an orgy? Have you been to a sex party? Have you been to multiple? I mean, obviously, we talked about the swingers things or whatever, but like, are you going to like sex parties on the regular? Is this in Costa Rica? If so, is it in New York? Okay. Let's break this down.
So no, the scene in Costa Rica, I mean, I think there's some kind of scene. I think there's like 3 sex club or swinger clubs. I'm not interested. I might go to one just to check it out at one point with a friend or something. But like, I'm kind of creeped out. That sounds bad, but like, I'm just, Costa Rica and I have issues. Okay. We don't talk about it. That's another episode.
Okay.
That's fine. But like, yes, in New York. So Zach and I met at a sex party, actually. So I do go to them. On a regular, that was my first one when Zach and I met. That was my first sex party ever. I went with someone else and then I met Zach and then I spent the rest of the night with Zach because Zach is amazing. So I went to that. Then I went to another one also in New York. Then I went to a private one at a house. And like once you, yes. But then I went to another one. You know, like once you start involving yourself in the scene, inserting yourself, you get invited to other things. I mean, obviously, if you're a young bisexual single woman, you are more likely to get invited to things. Like, I get it, my privilege and whatever. But like at the same time, in these spaces, your looks have little to do. Your personality, your reputation, how you respect people, if you, you know, are very consent aware, etc. Those things go further than your looks. But anyway, once I started meeting people, they would just, I just get invites. Like now that I am in New York this week, I get there Thursday. Thursday, I have a sex party at a penthouse. Then Sunday, I am going to Lola Jean's daytime playtime party. Then the following Thursday, I think there's some other sex party at Hacienda. And then on Saturday, someone asked if I wanted to go to another sex party. And then, you know, like it just happens. And then orgies also just happen, or foursomes just happen organically. Like in Jamaica, we had a few orgies and foursomes. On the cruise, I had one orgy and one threesome. And then like I would fuck next to other people, but that was weird. I don't know. It's just like, it happens.
Sure. Yeah. Is your refrigerator just full of Gatorades? Are we drinking a lot of water? Like, this sounds like a lot of hydrating. It needs to be happening. And people, and it's funny, right? But you get it. Like, to have that much sex, like, you have to be, we'll say, fluid competent, right? You need the water, you need the electrolytes, right? Is water your thing? Is it Gatorade? Like, how are we?
I'm a water girly.
Yeah.
I rarely even drink alcohol, so I'm just always like with my water everywhere. So yeah, water, I'm always giving water to everyone. But yeah, it takes energy, but it takes a lot of good planning skills. It takes, and knowing people, it takes good organization skills, time management skills. Because if you want to do it all, you have to fucking manage your time. Because I'm also recording season two. Like, I am busy, but I'm also making time too for some magic, you know, for some fun, for some pleasure.
Yeah, I think, and anybody listening to this or watching this, like, they could use some magic. I can feel it out there. Everyone's kind of like, ah, I'm horny. I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll try. So this is great. And being busy, like, you have to party hard, right? But you have to work hard at the same time. Like, it's a thing. It's a yin and yang thing. So I think that's a really important point too. And you can do these kinds of things where, like, you can go to a sex party, you can go to an orgy. Well, I don't know about an orgy, but you can go to a sex party, just hang out. And, like,
yes, I think people think they're going to be fucking for 8 hours straight, but, like, most of your time is downtime. Most of the time you're mingling, you're meeting people, you're flirting, and you fuck like 5% of the time. I mean, sometimes more. Some could fuck, you know, for 3 hours straight. There's also kink scenes happening, and then you watch the kink scene, you applaud, there's food. Like, at some of the parties I go to, there's always like a full meal. There's like a chef. There's a jacuzzi. Like, there's an outdoor area where you just meet people. That's where I meet everyone. And a lot of people don't even have sex. Like, they just go because the community is so beautiful that they want to be in it. They feel free. Like, that's the only place they can be fully themselves. So, yeah, you don't have to be like a freak or a slut or a whore like myself. You can just go and watch and meet people.
Yeah, and that's important for them to hear that from you too, because I say it all the time, but, you know, maybe they don't trust me yet, right? Maybe we're still working on it, right? I've been known to give some toxic advice, but I always try to follow up with some thoughtful advice, you know?
Am I in a toxic podcast? What is going
on? No, you're not. I'm very self-deprecating. So, you know, and sometimes, like, I'll say things like from my past in the nightlife, right? Like, oh, you know, this girl, da 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 da, but, you know, I played mind games with whatever, but, like, we're past that, right? And this is like a different thing. Like, we're all about staying non-corrosive, and so that's why we have people like you on, because I think it's important for them to hear it from you rather than hear it from me. So you can have experiences just by going and watching, and I think that's really important if you're easing yourself into this kind of lifestyle, that you, or even if you're not, even if you're just like fucking curious or horny and you want to try something, you can go and just hang out. And yeah, there's food at the fucking sex, at the good sex parties, they provide food, which is, people do never believe me, there's olives and snacks, so, like, there, it's there, right?
No, like, even a chef, like, full course meal. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because we're all hungry and dehydrated from fucking so much. But yeah, my recommendation for first timers is to just watch. Like, no fucking pressure. Go watch, get horny, then go fuck at home. Like, you don't have to do anything. Just watch. Or your only goal might be to talk to, like, three strangers. And, like, that's it. You don't have to do anything you're not comfy with.
Yeah, no, I fucking love that you said that. And we'll probably clip that as one of the many clips we use. Because that's fucking gorgeous. Thank you for that. I mean, because it encapsulates, like, this idea that, you know, sex isn't about the performance. It's about the experience, right? And that's sort of something that I like to drive home as well. Two final things. One, this is a very subjective question, which is why I think it's so fun. What would you say in all of this, in your adventures so far, good or bad, what has been your craziest sexual experience? Very vague, very broad question. I am definitely stalling to provide you time to think, to access your memories. But I just think it's an important and fun question to ask, because everybody's going to have a different answer. And I am waiting with bated breath to hear what yours is going to be.
I can't answer. The craziest, like, what does crazy mean?
Well, that's up to you, you know?
Hasn't, because, like, whoever might hear this might be like, everything she's fucking said is ridiculous and crazy. Shh,
that's why this question's fun.
Right. So I think some of the experiences that I have shared might make it to the top, but, like, I cannot give you a top one. The pool threesome was fun. A few orgies that I've had were really fun. Well, like crazy, crazy. Maybe I haven't done that much yet. Ask me in a year.
Well, when you come back in a year, I will definitely ask you.
Let's start scheduling it now so that we get to record in a year.
No, seriously. When we get off this, I will resend the link and we will make it happen. In closing, I definitely want to talk for a couple of minutes and like plug your podcast. Tell them about your podcast. When you started it, we got to it a little bit earlier. What kind of things you're talking about? Because you know, I have people on who have really good podcasts, and obviously I've been chasing you for quite a while because not only are you really smart and talented and have a way of communicating that I am very appreciative of, but like your podcast is really fucking good. And the way you go about it is sort of runs right alongside of my interest, because with this show I try to provide this sort of like fun circus environment, but we're like learning things at the same time while we laugh. And with yours, like it sort of has its own version of that. So tell them about your podcast. What's the name of it? What are you doing on it?
So podcast is named In Bed with Alexa because we record from bed. I am only doing in-person recordings at the moment. So both me and my guests are in bed. And we've mainly touched base on bisexuality, non-monogamy, rejection, communication issues, lots of sex parties, but how to approach people. I also had Kenneth Play, and he gave us all his squirting tips and also how to deal with your average penis size or if you're insecure about your size, confidence, dating tips, dating sober if you're sober or sober curious. This week's episode is Lola Jean, and she's the squirting queen. Like, she holds the world record for volume squirting in the world. So I'll have her. I have the owner, biggest female owner dungeon in New York. I have her. I don't know when that's coming out, but like for season two, it's more of the same, more experts. But I also want to have either a full season or some extra episodes of first dates on the pod. So I want to have a first date on the podcast, but it's so hard to find guests because it's on camera and it's in bed. So they're like, what are we filming porn? And I'm like, no, literally it's just like what we would talk about in dinner, but like on the podcast. And some people just don't get it. Some are very shy. So it's been hard to find guests. I have like three scheduled, but I feel like they're going to bail on me. So we'll see. But I would definitely love to do like a full season of first dates on the pod. That I feel like that's so fun and different.
No, that's fucking brilliant. I love that idea. And that's, you get that. I mean, who wouldn't want to watch that?
Right.
I mean, count me in. Alexa, Andre, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me on Sex Party this week. Let's tell these party-going, curious, lovely people where they can find you, where they can download everything you have. They can buy everything that may or may not be for sale. They can follow you. They can send you letters of appreciation. I don't know what I'm saying.
Or please. Hate mail.
No, you don't want that. Just let them hate me and they can have love for you. Where can they find you? Where can they find the podcast?
Okay, so Instagram, Sex with Alexa. I think everywhere, Sex with Alexa. Sexwithalexa.co is my website. I have a Patreon if you want to support my work, but like you don't know me, so I don't think so. And then the podcast is In Bed with Alexa on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube if you want to watch the full video, which is way more fun than just listening to my awesome voice.
Well, they know you now, so maybe they want to give you buckets of money on Patreon. But maybe. Thank you so much for being here. I'd love to have you back. We will schedule it way in advance, but thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Huge thank you to my guest, Alexa Andre, for being with me on the show this week. You know, go check out everything she's doing. Go follow her personal account. Go follow her podcast account. Listen to her podcast episodes. Download her podcast episodes. Check out her Patreon. You guys will not be sorry. There's a lot of exciting things over there. She's an exciting person, and she will be back. If you are loving guests like Alexa, if you just, you know, you want more sex party, you can't contain yourself. You want the spinoff I've been teasing for 2 years. You need more. You want to show some love, some desire, some appreciation for sex party. How do you do that? Well, if you're listening to this on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you could leave a rating, you could leave a review. Those things are nice and lovely, yes. But the most important thing you can do is subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode each and every single Wednesday. If you're watching on YouTube, do you like gumballs, snowballs, or dough balls better? Let me know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you all. If you're watching on YouTube, the most important thing for you to do is subscribe to the channel so you never miss an episode each and every single Wednesday. You can also leave a comment. You could also like the video. Those things are appreciated, but just make sure you're subscribed. I don't want you guys to miss out on what's coming, okay? As always, I'm available in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.